We open up the Word of God now to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Let's read that together now. This is the word of the Lord. Truly, God is good to Israel, even to such as are of a clean heart. But as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like other men. Therefore pride compasseth them about as a chain, violence covereth them as a garment. Their eyes stand out with fatness, they have more than heart could wish. They are corrupt and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens, and their tongue walketh through the earth. Therefore his people return hither, and waters of a full cup are wrung out to them. And they say, How doth God know? And is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. For all the day long have I been plagued and chastened every morning. If I say, I will speak thus, behold, I should offend against the generation of thy children. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then understood I their end. Surely thou didst set them in slippery places. Thou castest them down into destruction. How are they brought into desolation as in a moment? They are utterly consumed with terrors. As a dream when one awaketh, so, O Lord, when thou awakest, thou shalt despise their image. Thus my heart was grieved, and I was pricked in my reins. So foolish was I, and ignorant. I was as a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast holden me by my right hand. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. Whom have I in heaven but thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. For lo, they that are far from thee shall perish. Thou hast destroyed all them that go a-whoring from thee. But it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all thy works. There we conclude our reading of Scripture. It's on the basis of Psalm 73 and many other passages that we have the teaching of Lord's Day 50 of our Heidelberg Catechism. Lord's Day 50, and that reads this way. Which is the fourth petition? Now pay attention to what's in italics, words that we're very used to, but we're going to look closely at those words this morning. Give us this day our daily bread. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the only fountain of all good, and that neither our care nor industry, nor even thy gifts, can profit us without thy blessing. And therefore, that we may withdraw our trust from all creatures and place it alone in thee. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we continue to move through the Catechism's treatment of the Lord's Prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, let's try to get a little bit of context here. And what I'm referring to specifically is the connection between this petition this morning, give us this day our daily bread, and what goes before, the petitions that go before that petition. There are probably a number of connections between this petition this morning and the ones that come before it in the Lord's Prayer, but I want to give you just one, and that's this. Our daily bread has a goal, and that goal is that we might be strengthened and able physically now to glorify God's name and to live in God's service in all things. We need strength derived from physical bread to grow in our knowledge of God and to glorify Him and to order and direct the whole of our lives to the praise of His name. That's the first petition, hallowed be thy name. We need the basic necessities of this life so that we might submit in our heart to our King. That's the second petition, thy kingdom come. And we need these provisions for our body, these physical material provisions, so that we might be obedient to the will of God, even and especially when life becomes difficult. That's the third petition that we had last week, thy will be done. So you see that there's a connection between give us this day our daily bread and the petitions that come before, and there is a connection between the petition this morning and the ones that come after it as well. So you see the wisdom of our Savior, truly the perfect model prayer with all these petitions hanging together, closely connected. So we turn our attention this morning to this petition for daily bread, appropriate as well as in God's providence, thanksgiving is this week as well. Praying for our daily bread. Consider in the first point the petition, secondly, the acknowledgement, and third, the implication. Praying for our daily bread, the petition, the acknowledgement, the implication. That's what Jesus teaches us to pray. Give us this day our daily bread. And when you pare that down to the essence of it, what we're praying for is bread. Bread. Catechism elaborates on that just a little bit when it says, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. That's how it explains bread. All things necessary for the body. Now, there are some people who will approach this petition of the Lord's Prayer, and they'll say, Jesus is teaching us to pray for spiritual bread. And I think you can understand where people get that from, because Jesus goes at length in his ministry to talk about himself as the bread of life come down from heaven. And, of course, in our preaching and teaching, we often emphasize, don't we, spiritual things. Those are very, very important. So you can understand from a certain point of view that someone would come to this petition and say, well, it's talking about spiritual bread here, but it's not. We have to be careful, even when we think about prayer, that we don't become too spiritual in the sense that we come to a petition like this and think, well, Jesus is talking about spiritual bread. He's not. It is not below prayer to ask God for physical things. And that's what we have in view here. Physical, material bread. That loaf sitting on the kitchen counter or sliced up at the kitchen table, that bread. But notice now, only the basics for the body. We're not talking about cinnamon raisin bread. We're not talking about bread with butter and jam on top of it. Just plain bread, Jesus tells us to pray for. The basics. And the Catechism rightly interprets that to mean not only a loaf of bread, but any basic provision, physical provision for our body. That too is comprehended under bread. So, asking in prayer for clothing to cover our body. But again, not the most fancy and the designer clothing and the expensive, just the essentials we ask for. And something that might come to mind under bread is shelter. It's been pretty cold this week outside, underscoring the need for us to have a roof over our head, walls around us, a home to live in. Not the newest, biggest home that might show up in magazines, but just a basic shelter, Jesus tells us to pray for. The provisions for the body. That realigns our thinking a little bit, doesn't it? Because the river of this world that's always flowing by us and tries to sweep us into its stream would have us think that our wants are our needs. We live in such a prosperous nation. We have so many things, advertisements, when you go along the freeway, when you watch the television, all over the place. And the world continues to preach to us this message. This thing, this extra accessory, this luxury is actually something that you need. So it takes wants, turns them into needs, flips these things right around. You know the pull of that as well as I do. And how easily that thinking of the world seeps into the church too and into our homes and families. And we begin even maybe to pray that way. This is not something that's essential for my body and my survival. It's an extra, but I ask my Heavenly Father for it anyway. Jesus says, really in this petition, we may not do that. Only the basics. Now a question that might pop up in your mind is, we do have a lot though. I think every single person in this sanctuary this morning has a pretty comfortable home. And maybe it may not be so huge, but very comfortable. We have food in our pantries, lots of it. When you go home for lunch today or supper tonight or Thanksgiving meal this week, probably no one here will have too much trouble having loads of food on the table. And we have closets full of clothes. So you might wonder about that. How does that jive with what we just heard? Well, it may very well be that our Heavenly Father, in His providence, gives to us many things. And when He does that, we thank Him for that. That's what our attitude must be. But the point we're making now is, even though we may have much, we may not pray for more than the essentials. That's what we're being taught. Jesus teaches us to pray for bread, and in this petition even tells us when to pray for this bread, these basic provisions. He does that when he says, give us this day our daily bread, by which Jesus means, don't pray for these things for tomorrow. Not Monday, not Monday's bread, not Tuesday's bread, not December's bread, not the bread for 2023. Don't pray about tomorrow. You might ask, why is Jesus concerned with that, that we don't pray about bodily provisions for the future? Well, underneath a prayer that asks for tomorrow's things, underneath that sort of prayer is really a mindset. It's a mindset or a heart issue of anxiety. All of us here know what anxiety is, I trust. A mind with thoughts that are rushing all over the place, almost bouncing off of each other. It's not simply thinking about tomorrow, but being worried about tomorrow and consumed with the things of the future. If you look at the news, probably even in the last few months, they've been predicting that we may be getting into a pretty tough recession in the near future. Don't know whether that's going to happen or not. But you read news like that, and you can't help but be somewhat worried about your own job, your own future. And then we fathers come home with a paycheck, perhaps every week, and we look at the tuition bill and the church budget and the groceries that we need for our family and then all the other bills on top of it. And we sit down with our wife. How's it going to go for us this month? Going to be pretty tight. And we're anxious often, hand-wringing anxiety about the future. When we pray to our Heavenly Father about tomorrow, that's expressing the fact that we're anxious in our hearts about the future. And that's why we must not pray that way. I want to stop a moment and qualify what I just said in this way. What I said does not take away at all from the fact that we must work and plan and budget. In fact, if Jesus was saying, don't pray for tomorrow, if he was saying by that, don't work or plan for the future, he would be contradicting other parts of Scripture. Just think, children, you know it, about the ant in the book of Proverbs. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. We have to work. And even when you go a little bit further in this Lord's Day, it talks about our industry and care. Now we're going to get to that a little bit, that none of those things profit us apart from God's blessing. But the fact is, there's budgeting we must be involved in. There's saving of our money. There's working. There's planning for the future, looking to the coming weeks and months ahead. I don't want to take anything away from that. In fact, Scripture calls us to do those things to the glory of God. But the difference is, though I may look to the future and even plan for it and be careful as a steward, I must not do so anxiously. And there is a fine line there, isn't there? Planning, but not worrying. God give to us wisdom to know where that line is. Jesus says, don't pray for tomorrow, but only today. Give us this day our daily bread. Sunday, and not any further. And if you should ask, why only pray for today? It's because there is also a mindset or an attitude that underlies a prayer like that. And the underlying attitude of praying only for this day is dependence upon God. I'm not going to look ahead. Sunday, these next few hours of this day, Lord, provide me with my bread. Step by step by step, even moment by moment, reliance, dependence, trust in Him. Sometimes you'll hear people say, especially those who are going through afflictions, day by day. That's how you have to take it, day by day. There's a lot of wisdom in that, and there's a deep theology behind that too. It's day by day reliance upon our Heavenly Father. That's what lies below. Give us this day our daily bread. And of course, when we lean even minute by minute upon our Father, even for bodily things, that's to the glory of His name. That's why Jesus teaches us to pray this way. And I want to say here as well, it may very well be that in God's providence, not only does He give us many things, like we heard a while ago, but that He gives us things that are stored up into the future. Pantries that can go weeks without being filled again. Clothing that may even last for years. And a house that we can live in, maybe even for the rest of our life. But even if it's the Lord's will to do that, in His providence, we're thankful for that. But the point again is, we may not pray for things in the future, only for today. Jesus, in this rich petition, teaches us to pray for bread, teaches us to pray only for that today, and He even tells us something about the amount that we should be asking for. Maybe when we go through this petition, we sort of skate over the word daily, but that is actually a pretty important word. Give us this day our daily bread. It's a pretty rare word in the New Testament, but it means something that is sufficient for my needs and circumstances right now. The bread that I need, and that I need in my family or my church family, wherever it may be, for my circumstances now. You realize that even in Randolph Church, you as a family have different needs and circumstances than another family does. Lord, give us as our family, what's sufficient for us as a family now. And you as a congregation may vary widely from another congregation in the denomination, and even we as a denomination may vary a lot according to what our needs are than, let's say, somewhere in a country in Africa or God's people in China. Lord, for our particular circumstances and needs right now, give to us what is sufficient at this time. You realize our Heavenly Father has perfect wisdom. I don't need to determine the measure in which I need these things. He knows, and in His spotless wisdom, He will give to me and my family my specific allotment, what I need for today. Daily bread. And then there's this. Jesus is not content with telling you, pray for bread this day in the specific amount, but even is concerned with for whom we ask this bread. This word too is just easily to utter as we're reciting the Lord's Prayer together, but we ought to pay attention to it. Give us this day our daily bread. Catechism reflects just a little bit on that plural word us. That is, be pleased to provide us with all things necessary for the body. Perhaps you learned already in the sermon a few weeks ago on the address of the Lord's Prayer, Our Father which art in heaven, that Jesus is concerned to use that plural already at the beginning of the prayer, not my Father in heaven, our Father which art in heaven. He's teaching us to pray as a family. Who is this our? Who is this us in the petition this morning? It's the children of the Heavenly Father, which means it's our spiritual siblings, our brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, with whom we are connected spiritually. This family is those who have been chosen by God from eternity and election, who for whom Jesus Christ shed his blood, and those in whom the Spirit of God works to quicken them. My family. And it's not just the sense that I pray with them, although that's true. As brothers and sisters, we come together to the throne of grace, but also this, that I pray for my family. Have you ever thought of that? Husbands, fathers, when you're leading your family in prayer at the table after the meal, it's not wrong, even individually, that we would pray that God would provide for my daily physical needs. But especially when we pray as families and as a congregation, we say, give us this day our daily bread, because we're thinking about our family, not just around the table, but in Randolph Protestant Reformed Church. Do you think of these people sitting in the pew by you as your brothers and sisters whom you love, a part of one group in the Lord Jesus Christ? Having them in our heart, in our mind, we pray for their daily bread too. And then that's going to expand not only from these people that I know the best and whose needs I know and their struggles, Father, give them what they need for their body, but it's going to extend into the Protestant Reformed churches, to maybe many people that we do not know. And then the prayer is going to go even wider to our family, which is found all around this world, the Catholic Church, many of whose names we don't know, many people that we have not met, but we know this, they're persecuted, they're struggling, they have many difficulties, and I'm concerned for them too when I say, give us this day our daily bread. That implies, by the way, that we're a charitable, giving people. When someone has a need in the church, is on the bed of affliction, has had a surgery, someone who maybe is just plain struggling, I know that it's maybe a bit cliche, and it's quite simple, and it's not some flashy thing, but bringing a meal over to their house, something that helps, a plate of cookies, an expression of that communion of the saints and that love, not only will I pray for them and for their daily bread, but I will, in thanks to my God, provide for them when I can too, as God has given me the means to do that. Give us this day our daily bread. There is a petition there. We're requesting or asking something from God, but in that petition, the Heidelberg Catechism recognizes the fact that we're acknowledging something too when we pray it. And the first thing that we acknowledge when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, is this, that we may thereby acknowledge thee to be the fountain of all good. That's what you're saying when you say this petition. My Father in heaven is the source of everything that I have. Oh, how we so struggle to remember that. I know. We understand that theologically. And if I asked anyone here, who's the source of everything that you have, of your physical provisions, anyone would give me immediately, my Heavenly Father. But people of God, do we live that way? Is that something that really lives in our hearts? We have a land filled with department stores and grocery centers, and we have work that we do day by day for a wage or for a salary by which we have money to get the things that we need. We sit down at the table and we do our budgeting, our planning, our saving. We're thinking about the future. The Catechism even mentions our care and our industry. And then, in the midst of it all, we so easily forget. It all comes from God. And even if I don't say it, I slip into that pattern over and over, like the children of Israel did when they came into that land of prosperity and fatness. God warned them, when you get there, Israel, don't forget that I've given you everything that you have. And we need that warning just as much as the children of Israel thousands of years ago, because when we live in such a sophisticated society with all these things around us, we so often become dependent upon ourselves and forgetful and self-sufficient and rather fat in our riches, and we just plain live independently of God. I think all of us could say that. And so, when we pray this petition, we're acknowledging, by the grace of God, no, these things don't come from me. They come from my Heavenly Father. It's like a fountain, children. Have you ever seen a fountain in the ground and it has water spraying up out of it? There comes that crystal clear, rushing stream gushing out of the ground. That's what our Heavenly Father is. Out of that fountain of our Father rushes the gushing stream of all that we need. Spiritually, of course, pouring upon us from heaven all the benefits of salvation in Jesus Christ. But he doesn't even stop at the spiritual things earned at Christ's cross. Gushing out of the fountain, which is our Heavenly Father, is this stream of the physical provisions that we have as well. He's the giver of all of it. Yes, department stores. Yes, farmers who harvest the fields. And there are grocery stores, and there is our working and our salary and our saving and our budgeting, and there's the whole shipping and warehousing industry. But all of these things are but means in the hand of God, used by Him to give us what we need. He alone is the source. That beautiful works in us, His children, by His Spirit, gives to us by the working of His Spirit, and strengthens in us faith daily to look up to our Heavenly Father, who gives us these things for Jesus' sake, and to say, Father, it does come from Thee, and daily Thou dost care for me. To Thy name be all honor, praise, and glory. But we're acknowledging something else as well, besides the fact that He's the only fountain of all good. When you say this petition, you're also acknowledging this, that neither our care nor industry nor even Thy gifts can profit us without Thy blessing. You can have all this stuff, the budgeting, the saving, the working, the gifts, but without the blessing of God, zero profit. Refers there to Jehovah's blessing. His blessing is His favor. It's His grace. Sometimes I describe the blessing of God in this way. It is the smile on God's face toward His people. Can there be anything more important in the whole universe and in all history than the smile of God? His favor, His grace. He has that upon His elect people and upon them alone. And that blessing of the Lord is only in and can ever only be in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when you have God's blessing, His smile, you can't ever take that blessing and rip it away from Jesus Christ. They always go together. What did Christ do for us? Took that curse that lay upon us. He took that upon Himself. Hung there under the beating, tormenting wrath of God for all of our sins, hanging there on the accursed death, dying that horrible death on the accursed cross. And every single moment when that wrath of God against our sins poured down upon Him, with every heartbeat that was within Him, He responded with love and obedience, perfectly so, suffering there for our sins. Stood in our place as our representative, as our substitute. Jehovah's blessing is upon His people in Christ and for His sake. You can think of it like this. His smile or His favor comes forth from His throne, and it always has to travel through the cross. And only when it comes through the throne, from the throne, travels through the cross, and then it is liberally upon us, His people. Now I want to say something that is simply amazing. Even something as simple as a piece of bread on our plate, God accompanies with His blessing. And I want us to think about that when we say that simple prayer, maybe in a couple of hours, Lord, bless this food and drink for Jesus' sake, amen. What are you saying, children, when you say that? Lord, this smile, which is more important than to me than life itself, accompany this food on my plate with that blessing. That's what we're saying. Gives to us, His people, the things that we have. And He does so in His favor upon us for Christ's sake. Now when you say this petition, give us this day our daily bread, you're acknowledging that your care, your industry, your work, your budgeting, your saving, and even God's gifts cannot profit you without His blessing. And by implication, with His blessing, these gifts are truly profitable to us in every way. You are Randolph Protestant Reformed Church. And because we're a Protestant Reformed congregation, it's important that we know something of our origin and our distinctives. And I want you to remind you of our origin as a denomination had everything to do with our rejection of a doctrine called common grace. And I bring that up here because the Lord's Day at this point in so many words, rejects that heresy of common grace. And it says in that, neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. That lie of common grace is the teaching that God has grace, think favor, a non-saving favor. He has grace upon all of humanity, head for head, including the wicked. And common grace teaches that God not only gives gifts also to the wicked, but he even gives those gifts with his blessing, in his favor upon the wicked. That's what common grace teaches. And now, as I said, the Heidelberg Catechism exposes that lie of common grace. If you read carefully, let me read it one more time, that neither our care nor industry nor even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. Understand that there's a distinction between gifts on the one hand and God's blessing on the other hand. Those are two different things, and we must not mix gifts that he gives with his blessing or his favor. Catechism separates those two things. God does give gifts also to the wicked. No one can deny that. They get rain and sunshine and food and drink and so on. He does give gifts, but he does not give those gifts in his favor upon them. There is no favor toward the reprobate. God gives gifts accompanied with his favor only to the elect. That's why I read a few minutes ago Psalm 73, because Asaph was really struggling with that, as you might as well sometimes, that you look around you, it seems that society has it really good, smooth, prosperous. How do I understand this? And Asaph came then into the sanctuary of God, and then he understood the end of the wicked. All that prosperity is like so many slip and slides down into hell. God has set them on those slippery places and cast them into destruction. He has no favor upon the wicked. Give us this day our daily bread. You're acknowledging our care or industry or even thy gifts can profit us without thy blessing. And also in this petition, we can draw out an implication. Probably you could draw out a number of them, but we draw only one, and that is contentment. When you pray this, give us this day our daily bread, that implies you have a contentment within you. How can someone pray this sincerely when they're just filled with covetousness? That's the opposite of contentment. When I want so much more than my daily bread, and I'm obsessed even with the pursuit of that, and I'm never satisfied with what God has given to me. And included in this, and maybe we should remember this on Thanksgiving week as well, someone whose belly is their God. It's probably one of those respectable sins in the church, so-called, but a sin that one's belly is his God, and coveting all these things of the world. How can we possibly pray this if that's within us? The very fact that by the grace of God we say, give us this day our daily bread, implies that God has worked by the Spirit of Jesus Christ contentment. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Contentment is looking at the things in my garage and in my house and in my pantry and on my body and saying, this is enough. I'm satisfied with it. And it doesn't matter what I have or how much I have or how much I even have compared with the people down from me on the pew. Regardless of all those things, I can say about my present circumstances and what I have, it's enough. I have today from God what fits exactly my needs and my circumstances. I said, when you make this petition, that implies contentment. You're only asking for just bread, basic necessities, and nothing else. I'm satisfied with even the littlest portion, Father. Whatever thy will is for me. Do you know what fires contentment? What just fuels it? When we know our salvation in Jesus Christ, we're content regardless of the circumstances of our lives and what we have on this earth. When we know how rich we are in Him. And now do you understand how some of God's people throughout history could be sitting in a dungeon and maybe get a crust of bread to eat per day? And they would say, I have this much and I have Christ. The Lord has given me so much to know what God has done for us and to know especially the forgiveness of all of our sins, also for our wrong view of material things. The Lord has given to us a great, unchangeable salvation, and He has made us to be unspeakably rich, and He satisfied our deepest soul needs in the Lord Jesus. Knowing that, you can go up this aisle and you can go home and say, no matter my lot in this life, Lord, I'm content. And indeed, I have everything. Amen. Our Father in heaven, remind us then of those spiritual riches which are in our Savior. Remind us of what Thou hast done for us and realign our perspective again this morning. Father, we do struggle with covetousness and we do struggle with self-dependence. Point us up once again to Thee, the sole fountain of all that we have. Strengthen our dependence and trust upon and in Thee alone. May we, Lord, go every day, not going ahead, but just this day, then relying upon Thee, our faithful Heavenly Father. Give to us this day our daily bread. And forgive us also of our many sins against Thee in this regard as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.